Wrapping up the CAA World Congress of Sports from Los Angeles, and this is your Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, April 18th. I'm Abe Madcore, joined by Chris Smith. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. This is the last one that we will be giving to you from Los Angeles. And Chris, another strong day, another busy day, a lot of different speakers, but I want to start with one of the headliners. A late addition to the agenda was Ryan Smith, who came in from Salt Lake City. He had a sit down with Mike Levine from CAA Sports and covered a lot of ground. And all indications are that they will announce the relocation of the Coyotes to Salt Lake City as early as today on Thursday.
Yeah, couldn't have been better time to have him on stage this week. I think, you know, the way he put it was, you can't always believe what you read on the internet, but this time you probably can. So probably a pretty good sign we're going to see Coyotes have a new home, or whatever the Coyotes will be named moving forward. Sounds like he made a point that this summer will be spent ironing out a lot of those details, figuring out branding for the team, plans for the team, and, you know, incredible, incredible amount of passion, I thought, for the market of Utah, for what they've done with the Jazz, for what they've done with Real Salt Lake. The Royals, obviously, NWSL team they own, just re-debuted this year after departing the state a few years ago. So a lot of passion there and a lot of belief in the market, a young market, a growing market, a wealthy market.
I'm with you. I loved his passion and energy and belief in Utah. Like, we can do this. We will do this. People underestimate this state, this city of Salt Lake. He had every figure at the really tip of his fingertips in terms of the growth, the job market, the demographic. And so he is a big believer. He's a good storyteller. He comes across as very real. And I think that he's going to be, when you look at his portfolio now, Chris, it's quite a sports portfolio.
It's big. It's big. And he talked a lot about the youth level, too, right? That what they're doing with kids, that they're deploying Jazz basketball jerseys with kids who are playing basketball, creating those fans at a young age, building that market really from the grassroots level up. It's exciting to see.
It is. Okay. And then you had to close the Congress, a one-on-one with Jessica Berman. She was coming off Board of Governor meetings here in Los Angeles. What were your main takeaways? Because you covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we covered pretty much everything I could think to ask her about. And she went deep on a lot of them. I think number one takeaway for me was on the ownership front, sort of the things that she sees as important for these new team owners who are coming in. And there are a lot of new team owners who have come in. We've seen a lot of expansion. We've seen a lot of turnover. And that the values are important. She talked about that, right, having these teams, the value be affirmed that once a team transacts a control transaction, it is essentially in stone, right? This is not something that's hypothetical. This is someone really putting the money where their mouth is to say, this is a valuable asset, and I think it's going to continue to grow. However, she talked about what they bring to the table in terms of vision, that they want people in that board of governors room, and she looks around, that she can rely on, that they want to go the same place she does, that they see the sky is the limit, that they want to continue to be the number one league in women's soccer and really setting their sights higher than that. So I thought that was sort of the key takeaway for me. Other than that, it was big events coming stateside, give them a lot of momentum. World Cup, Men's World Cup coming in 2026 being the biggest. Talked a lot about the new media rights deals. They just kicked off a few weeks ago. And I thought something that was interesting there and really drove it a theme from this week was finding fans where they are, finding younger fans. And she talked about they have four partners in ESPN, CBS, Amazon, and Scripps, and each of those is almost a targeted vector at a different subsection of fans at different ages, where people consume media, whether they're looking on their phone, whether they're looking on cable, whether it's on broadcast. And so having a lot of national windows across those different platforms gives them, I think, the exposure and the idea that they can now keep building on the momentum they've had.
You pushed her a couple of times on the increasing valuation of the franchises, and at one time she finally just said, we will let the marketplace decide what our franchises are worth. But all indications are they're thinking, hopeful, and expecting them to continue to rise and increase.
Absolutely. I mean, right now we see Angel City. You know, the belief is that they're looking for a control owner. That is probably the most valuable team in the league, depending who you ask. That number is going to probably be a new record valuation. Unclear exactly where that lands or who is going to really back that transaction. A lot of anticipation there. And they're looking for an expansion owner.
Yeah,
Boston comes in as an expansion team in 2026. They're looking for another market to join them. From people I've talked to around the industry, there's a lot of interest there. A lot of people want in, a lot of deep pockets. I tried to get her to put a number on it, try to tell me, you know, I talked to someone earlier today who said they don't think $100 million is
out of reach.
Yeah, out of reach. Yeah. And the last round of expansion was 53. So we're talking about doubling the last round of expansion. Whether they get there or not, TBD. And to her point today, they're going to let the market decide and see, you know, how high demand can drive that price.
Low supply, high demand. That's a pretty good mix. Now, soccer also pervaded the conversation during the day. We had a panel with Don Garber, Sidney Parlow-Cohn, Victor Montelliago from CONCACAF. And so you had a really good discussion about all the influx of soccer in the United States. And it's not just World Cup. There's a number of other tournaments. And, of course, Los Angeles will be home to 8 World Cup matches in 26 at SoFi Stadium. And there's a clear line of vision for each of those leaders about how they see that growing the game in America.
It's incredible. It's the most popular sport in the world, and everyone sees it as a growth property. And I think there's a very strong case for it, right? Where you see how many people are coming into the sport as fans, how many people are coming into the sports as participants at younger ages. It's a lot of excitement, a lot of momentum.
I would also say that another theme I took away was globalization.
Yes, big one for me. You know, first panel this morning, talking to Dan Beckerman from AEG, Mark Donovan from the Chiefs, Steve O'Donnell from NASCAR, all of them saying international markets is where we see new revenue streams, where we see new opportunity, right? Mark Donovan talking about what they've done in Germany and the fan response there. Dan Beckerman talked about bringing the Kings to Shanghai, to Australia, to all the venues that AEG controls in Europe, and that unlocks, one, new revenue from those events, but two, that it gives you the opportunity to reach new fans. I think a big theme of this week is fandom sort of a zero-sum game, right? Are we fighting for the same market?
Yeah.
Or can you broaden that pie? Can you find new fans that are out there? And I think international markets is one of those biggest, you know, that's what they see as the potential goldmine, right? That's where we go to find, we don't have to butt heads with other leagues or with our competitors. So we can go out there and we can find new fans that are just waiting, untapped kind of goldmines.
Yeah, you mentioned Mark Donovan. I mean, they played in Germany this year. They'd set the foundation by playing in London a few years earlier. They put a lot of resources into Germany. And he said they've instantly, quickly seen the results of that investment. They have corporate partners who are exclusive to that market. They have a fan base in that market. And you're right, NASCAR talking about holding events, Cup Series events, outside of North America would be a big, big step in that sport's growth.
Yeah.
And so we saw that. A couple things I also took away today. A conversation about, one, don't overprice tickets for fans. Have multiple segments. We've seen so much energy around premium hospitality. Most teams say you cannot put in enough premium hospitality and sell it at a higher and higher price. But some messages today were, yes, that's still a strong market, but don't forget the walk-in price. Don't forget segmentation. Don't forget family pricing.
Yeah, Mark Donovan, again, made an interesting point about season tickets, right? And the season tickets could be a suite holder. Season tickets can be someone in the rafters. And you have to give that person the same level of attention, right? Regardless of where they are, that you need to have attention. You have to have thought. You have to be intentional about the experience that they're having when they come to these games.
And as we wrap up, Chris, a really good session, I thought, on content creation, storytelling. Paul Rabel, some really interesting insight in terms of how he looks at storytelling. You can tell he's really studied Disney, studied filmmaking, studied directors, because he had some really sharp points of view there that stood out to me. And as you think about the 2 days here in Los Angeles, Chris, what else stands out to you?
Yeah, I think storytelling's a big one. That panel was interesting. You know, other people on that, Gabe Spitzer from Netflix.
Yep.
So Netflix just basically put him into a brand newly created role not that long ago, overseeing sports. That wasn't something that existed there previously. And now, you know, when you look to what Netflix is doing, they're going to have that Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight coming later this year. Getting into the live side of things, obviously they did the WWE Raw deal. All of that is around storytelling. You look at that same panel, Fred Anthony Smith. He heads up Unscripted at Smack, Constance Schwartz-Marini, Michael Strahan. They're, you know, one of those companies, and it's this flood, right, of people coming into that production space, into that storytelling space, trying to find different ways. How do you connect with these fans, not just with live rights? How do you tell them the unscripted stories? How do you package these programs that have become so popular, right? When you see everything that Netflix has done and the other platforms, unscripted series like Quarterback, like Drive to Survive. I mean, these are some of the biggest stories of the year, every year now, it seems, right, is how much attention they draw and how that momentum drives back into the sports industry, right? The non-fans that come in, they watch a series. Steve O'Donnell from NASCAR said it was something 80%+ of viewers of the new Netflix NASCAR series never watched a championship or didn't last year watch a championship event. That's crazy to me, right? That they didn't watch a single event and yet they're willing to dive into this new sport. And that's how you kind of, again, start creating those new fans, using storytelling as another lever to pull to create new interest in a sport.
It was really a historic week, because if you really think about it, Chris, we did this Congress and around the news of Caitlin Clark on with the draft and the numbers there, to talk about women's sports and the growth of women's sports. We did this Congress while an NHL team was possibly relocating from Arizona to Salt Lake City, while Gary Bettman said on stage, teams are undervalued, and you get the league really setting the value of what this team will be in Salt Lake City. And third, all this came down on Wednesday afternoon when Jontay Porter by the NBA was banned. There's still some details about the extent of the ban, but that is something that's going to be a big story in sports business. So you had these three storylines, and like you said, the other storyline was finding fans and growth and international growth, and there's a real bullishness about the sports business still, despite some uncertainties.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of questions about what are the headwinds, right? What are things we need to navigate around? And at the same time, I can't tell you how many people from the investment world were here that I was chatting with, right? Private equity folks, people who are looking to deploy capital against this industry and in massive, massive quantities. I mean, that's all you really need to know, I think, when, you know, you look at, even with all these challenges, even with all these questions, potential headwinds, that there's still that much fervor from the investment side, I think, tells you the, if the investment case is strong and if the smart money is there, you know, pretty confident we're heading upwards.
Well said. And I think that was the takeaway amongst many takeaways here at the CAA World Congress of Sports. So for Chris Smith, I'm Abe Madcore. That is your Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, April 18th. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. We'll speak to you again down the road.